put this down over here. This little apology that tonight's share is going to be relatively short, and I also apologize that it's relatively boring. It's not so much fun, it's more informative and philosophical, and I really do apologize. The reason for this is because the next 3 weeks are going to be probably my best three shiurim ever. Many people love them. They're very, very entertaining and life-changing. They are my Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov shiurim on tefillah. But today, what I want to do is, because it's yeshiva, I want to give you some background information, and this background information will force you to appreciate the next few weeks on a much, much deeper level. So basically, I'm going to give you over some deep ideas, and you'll understand next week when we talk about unanswered prayers and Tfilis Avram Avinu. Oh, the birthday boy has arrived. So I'd like to dedicate today's share to you. It's 19 tonight. People die every day. Happy birthday. Anyhow, okay, so this is dedicated to Yossi over here. The most boring share of the year. I'd like to ask you all a question. You people out there, as adult, Jewish, somewhat sane males, how many times a day are you obligated to daven a Shemoneh Esrei? Three. The answer is three. So you should not be under any delusions. You have to daven three Shemoneh Esreis a day. You have to daven them three in a shul, a lechatchila. You have to daven with a minyan. And these are all obligations upon us. Now, Shana Bet guys may not answer. Shana Aleph guys, how do we know that we have to daven three times a day? Excellent. So we have this handsome gentleman over here in the green and white. Points out correctly, the Gemara in Brachas, Kavavim at base, as the Shana Bet guys learned last year. Tfilos Avos Tiknun. Tfilos were instituted by the horribly named forefathers. That's the way these things go. Yes, there were three, Josh. Okay, this is the way these things go. So, I just want to share with you that anyone that comes to my house for Shabbos, so my little three-year-old has a coloring book, and in it you see the word Avraham, and out of the base of Avraham, which is the second letter, comes out the word Boker. Get it? Get it? Then Yitzchak, the second letter, Tzadik, out comes the word, can you guess? Zaharayim. And then you have Yaakov, the second ayin, out comes the word Arab. So I don't know, it probably was the kindergarten teacher thought of this, but my daughter colors in and it's very cute. But that's what's called Tfilos Avos Tiknun. Now, once again, Shana Bet guys may not participate. Is there any other possible reason? Oh, excellent, okay? So the other sheet just says Tfilos Keneged Karbanos Tiknun, which means Shachris follows the Tamid Shel Boker, Mincha follows the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim, and the Marv one is what the seminary girls really like, because it corresponds to the burning of the fats. So, yeah, no Shachrin jokes, please. Okay, I guess it's not appropriate. So now, no, it's not a joke at all, because it's funny, because my wife, when I first got married, my wife supported me in college. She was an aerobics instructor. So I always had this vision of Kohanim on the Mizbeach, you know, the burning of the fats, you know. And one, and two. Can you feel the burn? So this is what went on all night long in the Beis HaMikdash. The fats were burned. Afterwards, Rabbi Wittenstein will give us a Kabbalistic insight as to the deeper meaning of what it means, Hector Chalavim. I used to think Hector Chalavim was a Puerto Rican, but whatever. But it turns out that there is a yeah, it's related to the Russian Boris Karshina. Anyhow, the point is, I'm sorry, it's one of those days. You all know the three cowboys in Adon Olam: Billy Ratius, Billy Sachis, and Kid Ruchi. Anyhow, okay. Rabbi, it's not Kurdish. And I'm just compensating because this is such a boring share that I have to throw in a few jokes. So here we go, okay? So now we have it. We had this machlokus where the tefillah is connected karbonos or tefillah is connected the avos. Now who here, Shana Bet guys may apply, who here can tell us what would be a practical halachic nafkimina between the two opinions? Go for it. What? Well, no, Musaf, no. Okay. Musaf is connected. Yosef, this is not for now. Okay? Shachris min chamar, is it connected? The obvious, go for it, Isaac.
Maybe on days that you would not make karbanos, like Shabbat?
Could be. Could be around to Sunday, but it's something much simpler. Go ahead. Well, the answer is, one word, go ahead. Exactly, Mariv, right? The Nafkimina is Mariv. The Mariv, if you hold, is connected the Avos. So Mariv is obligatory, just like Shachris and Mincha, because the Avos are equal opportunity for fathers, right? They're all the same. So Mariv will be the same as Shachris and Mincha. If you hold the Karbanos, then the burning of the fats is of lesser significance, and that's why some of you correctly mentioned, so Mariv, for example, if you forget Yalav Yalvi, you don't have to repeat it. There's no Chazaras Hashatz, etc., etc. By the way, halachically, you are all obligated in Mariv. Men took it upon themselves as a chiyuv. Women do not have to do it. They never took it upon themselves. All women are doing is a straight halacha. Women are obligated in Shachris and Minchas as the Mishnah Berurah, not Mariv, because they never took it upon themselves. Let us proceed. Now, the Rambam in the Hilchas Tefillah paskins la halacha, the Tefillah is connected to the Karbanos, because he tells us that Mariv is a voluntary Tefillah. So clearly he's going with that Manda Amma. The problem is as follows. Is that I'd read it in front of you, but the Rambam in Hilchas Malachim, Perek Dalet, Hilchas Malachim is something that every single young man in this room should read. You should learn all the Rambam, but Hilchas Malachim, from a Hashkafa viewpoint, is fascinating. It's all the laws of Mashiach, all the laws of Melchama, Goyg and Magoy. There's a section on Kerem, and right there it says the following. It says that you should know that the three forefathers, I hate that, the three Avos, which we'll just stick with the Hebrew, the three Avos, each one gave us a tefillah and gave us a mitzvah. So Avraham Avinu gave us Shacharis and gave us the mitzvah of Bris Milah. Yitzhak gave us the mitzvah of Maisros, which is in this week's parsha, but it's a whole Sipur over there in the Nesi Kin, and what exactly means by Maisros. And he gave us a tefillah called wrong. It's not what he says. He says he gave us a tefillah lifnais erev. It's a quote unquote, which means as the sun is setting, as the day is dying. The significance of the Rambam I should explain in about 10 minutes time. It's incredible. The language of the Rambam. We all know lifnais erev is this week's parasha. Vayetze Yitzhak l'suach masad lifnais erev. It is a tefillah as the day is dying. You will see in a moment that even though halachically it is not the case, we daven mincha at 12:45 when we're on time. But hashkafically, and anyone that's into Kabbalah or in the Hasidus, they know the proper time for davening mincha is lifnais erev, as the day is dying, that's when you catch mincha. So we'll see in a moment what this means. Then he says, Yaakov gave us Gid Anasha. Where are the guys in my share? Okay, Gid Anasha, is it Cheskes Isser, or is it not Cheskes Isser? Machlokes between the Shach and Taz, whatever. It's the Shev Shmaitze, whatever. We're not talking about that now, but that's the Isaac can fill you in. But the point is that he gave us the mitzvah of Gid Anasha, and he gave us the tefillah of Kol Arvis. So the at first glance, you have over here Machlokes in the Rambam, a steer in the Rambam. Okay, Rabbi David sits right here. It's a brisk steer in the Rambam. The Rambam's up to Zayin, the Rambam's up to Zayin. What am I going to do over here? How do you deal with this Machlokes in the Rambam? Is the Rambam in connected the Karbanos? Is the Rambam connected the Avos? He says both. How can it be both when there are practical nafkimanas? And the answer is, who can answer? How do you answer the stira in the Rambam? Tzvei dinim is correct. That's the way to answer these things. The answer to tzvei dinim, meaning that in terms of strict halacha, no, but you happen to be right. You just didn't realize how right you were. You were saying it to be funny. But you are correct. There's two dinim. One thing is that halachically it's connected to the Karbanos. In terms of Mariv, that is the case. But, and here is the main point of the next 15-20 minutes. The main point is as follows. It is crucial, says the Rambam, to know that each tefillah comes from a different Av. And when you daven Mincha, you are plugging into Yitzchak. And when you're davening Mariv, you are plugging into Yaakov. These things are not casual information. It actually defines the nature of the tefillah. So now I'm teaching you something new. The Shemayna Esrei is 19 brachos. At first glance, they all are identical. Shachris min chamara. They are photocopies. the Mishachus, give or take a Sim Shalom, a Shalom Rav, they're all identical. Wrong! That is the only the externalities. The real tefillah is the Avodah Shebalev. Shachris is as different from Mincha as Avram's personality is different from Yitzchak, and you all know they were opposite personalities. One was Chesed, one was Gvura, so they are very, very different. Just somebody pointed out to me that Avram and Yitzchak looked identical. This is an incredible thing, but inside they were opposites. So similarly, Shachris and Mincha look identical, but inside they're opposites. I'm going to explain to you in a few minutes what it means they're opposites, but first understand the concept. Shachris, Mincha, and Marv is not like as we go through the day, let's do another tefillah, we go through the day, let's do another tefillah. No, that's called Islam. Islam have five prayers. Each one is identical to the next. So those of you, whatever it is, you have Josh Redlich, okay? He gets up at very early in the morning, and you could say at 6:30 a.m., if you listen carefully outside, you can hear... Oh. So Josh is convinced that somebody's constipated in a minaret. But whatever it is. Oh. Flush, Abdul. Flush already, okay? It's not so... Okay, it's not... It's scary, okay? It's scary. But it's really scary because if you listen carefully to what the words are coming out from these constipated people, they're actually saying Allah Akbar, which means kill Kabir, and they are davening to Kodesh Baruch Hu. So I'm not going to start up now, but some of you know when I go on my occasional rants against Christian America, so I point out that there's no concept of God and prayer in Christianity. All it is lip service. It's Sunday morning, and there they give what's called Shir, and they give Shevach, and they give Haidah. But Tfilah, which we know is Bakasha, is only Islam and is only Judaism. So that man called Muhammad, who the Rambam in Moreh Nevuchim, and it's also in the censored version of the Mishnah Torah, he so delicately calls him Hamashuga, the clinically insane one. So Muhammad, who was bipolar and schizo and all kinds of other things, which apparently his followers adhere to, he said, if the Jews can do it five times a day, we will do it five times a day. But he came into Shul Yom Kippur, so he got it mixed up. The point is that this is true. This is all his history. The point is, their tefillahs are identical. Our tefillahs look like they're identical, but they are not identical. They are as different from each other as the others were different from each other. Somebody mentioned Musaf. It's an interesting thing. Everyone understands that when you go from weekday to Shabbos, so everything changes, and therefore the prayers change. Or when you go into Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, everything changes because you're entering into a holy zone. But now, what I'm going to teach you in the next few minutes is that mornings are different from afternoons, and both of them are different from nights, and therefore they demand different types of tefillos. And that block of time, each one had a person whose personality was perfect for that block of time. So Avraham Avinu is a morning person. Lahagid baboker. Chazdecha. Yitzchak's the afternoon man, and Yaakov, like myself, is a night person, and he gets this. So they are suited for bringing out these three things. So now I want to take this whole thing a level deeper. To explain to you, instead of just words, let's set of bones, now we're going to put flesh to these bones. Okay, how does this work? So first of all, I'm going to ask you the Marsha's question. Marsha, in Brachos Kavav and Mabes, asked the following very simple question. He asked, "Did Avraham Avinu daven mincha before this week's parasha? This week's parasha, Perek of Dalad, Pasuk Samach Gimel, Vayetze Yitzchak l'suach basada." The Gemara in Pesachim brings down the Gemara in Brachos, and the Gemara in Pesachim explains that he's the one that called the Beis Hamikdash Shasada. He institutes mincha. Did Avraham Avinu daven mincha when Yitzchak was a little boy? Did Avraham Avinu teach him to daven three times a day? So, birthday boy says yes. Why?
By the Ikeda, didn't they go to daven?
I don't know. How do you know that they're daven Shachris, Mincha, Marv?
Because it was answered someone going down.
Bring me your makar. Did they daven the three prayers?
No.
No. Why? Because it said that Yitzchak instituted Mincha, Yaakov instituted Marv. On the other hand, what? No, don't just play. Okay, who can give me a smara Go for it. Exactly. We have a tradition that says, the Gemara brings down, that the Avos kept all the mitzvahs, including the Rabbanans, including nuances like Erev Tashilin. So therefore, obviously, Avram taught Yitzhak Avinu as a little boy that we daven three times a day. So what's the pshat? So the Marshas gives the following answer, and then the Maharal has a whole essay on this. The Marshas says that what it means is each one instituted a tefillah, quote, lefi midaso, based on his midah. And that is something incredibly deep. This is needed to understand, which means the following thing. So I'm going to teach you something. And when I first heard this, I guess I was just a little older than you, your age, I heard this, it blew me away, because it's a whole different way of thinking of things. When you and I think about Shachris Mincha Maariv, so what do you think? Once upon a time, there were the men of the Great Assembly, and they got together and they wrote 19 brachos. Now obviously, you all know the Shemoneh Esrei is the holiest thing we have outside of Tanakh. It is actually more ancient than the Mishnayos, it's more ancient than the Zohar. The Shemoneh Esrei goes back to the Archdeist Gedolah, like Mordechai, how you heard, these are the authors, not only the same people that wrote Navi. So they gave us this incredible thing called the Shemoneh Esrei. And that's how we think of it, but really it's much, much deeper than that. It's much, much, much deeper. It's not just these great men wrote Shemoneh Esrei. All they did was they channeled a pre-existing energy that came from the Avos. What does this mean? So I have to give you, I apologize, this is on tape over here. Normally I ask you to turn the tapes off, but we have to keep this in-house, because I have to be very honest with you. You're not supposed to talk Kabbalah in public, and this is not real Kabbalah. This is like, you know, we have Daniel Megan from Los Angeles, so whatever, Pico Robertson, they learn this stuff over there, Kabbalah.com people. Today this has become commercialized. Everyone knows this stuff. Today in kindergarten you learn your magical spheros and whatever it is, and in magic shows they teach you how to turn people into frogs. So the point is, Kabbalah has become highly commercialized to the point that it's meaningless. We, as B'nai Torah, understand that real Kabbalah, you study, like Rabbi David, for 40 years with Kedusha and Tahara, then afterwards you start to understand these things. But there are certain concepts that are so well known, I will talk about them publicly, for the simple purpose that we will learn something in the next few minutes that will actually help us with our davening, and that's why it's worth it. You'll see what I mean in a moment. So, everyone here has heard that there's a concept called spheros. What does spheros mean? Heavenly emanations. So, it's good, okay? Everyone knows there are seven spheros. They know their chesed, gevurah, tiferes, netzach, hoyd, yesod, malchus. Why do you know these things? It's up in your sukkah. An art scroll brings it down. And spheros of Omer, insert the appropriate sphero over here. You know, like, you know? So we all know these things. But what exactly are spheros? Spheros are also called, in simpler language, obviously the Californians like sephira, they can spell it with a PH. It looks very cool. But we call them midos. Midos is not the same as when we talk about the marvelous midos machine and Uncle Moshe's midos. We're talking about Kabbalistic midos. So what exactly are midos? I want to say something now. I'm not asking you to understand what I'm saying in the next 2 minutes. I'm asking you to hear the general idea, and then afterwards, as you get older, these things start to settle inside of you and they start to make sense. And that is the following concept. Listen. When God created the world, created the world for a purpose. What is that? That we in the lower worlds should fix the lower worlds and turn it into Kedusha. That's called, in a lady we say, the Sakin Olam, Tikkun Olam, B'malchus Shakai, underneath God's Malchus. How do you fix things? So just like this building, to build a building, you need tools and you need building blocks. So to fix the world, you need tools and building blocks. So this is what Hashem did. When Hashem created the world, he, from himself, he brought out what's called seven midos. The seven major midos, he brought them out to this world, and he put them into the higher worlds. So there they are. They're standing in the higher worlds. Now, that's useless, because we need them down here. How do you bring them down here? So you can't just say, you know, hello God, we'd like to have netzach. Thank you. It doesn't work that way. You got to bring it down, the Kedusha. How do you do that? So there were seven people in history, seven extraordinary people. They're called the shepherds in Aramaic, the Sheva Royim, the rare Mehemnas. Do not confuse them. I know what you're thinking of. Do not confuse them with the seven dwarfs. That's all about cocaine. So that's a different concept. No, seriously. with Sneezy, Cokey, Doc, Inhaley, Sniffoppy, whatever they're called. It's all, this is a different concept. We're talking about something Kadosh. We're talking about the seven shepherds. So what are the seven? Josh, relax. Okay? You're in yeshiva now. So now, the seven shepherds, what were they? They came along and they brought them down. How do you bring it down? The answer is as follows. Each one of the seven holy shepherds, they focused on a midah. And they focused on it, and they kept that midah, and they worked on that midah, and they worked on that midah, and they worked on it until they reached a climax where they embodied that midah. At that point then, the midah's downstairs and no longer upstairs. You hear this? They became that midah. Now, this is something unfathomable. But the word chesed does not mean charity or kindness. The word chesed, Avraham Avinu's chesed, is a Kabbalistic concept which I prefer to call building or outreach, stretching it out, stretching out. The Kabbalistic concept of chesed, real chesed, Avraham Avinu did it by having, as we learned this in last week's parasha, his tent in all four directions was open. With me, all four directions. Most normal people who are into chesed have three directions. You have the front door and the two side doors. But there's always a certain part that is private, and that no one goes into. Avraham Avinu, so to speak, to become the midah of chesed, had to go to the extreme, and all four directions were open. Another example, when you have, and whatever it is, I just came from Arizona, where it reaches 100 degrees sometimes, 110 degrees. Once it's 200 degrees, it means that you're walking out into a furnace. So if you have just had an operation, you don't walk out into a furnace. Unless your name is Avraham Avinu, because he was to become the midah of chesed, and that's really where it came down into this world at that moment then. So to do that, he had to go to the extreme. And he devoted his whole life to chesed until he embodied that. That means that to do true chesed, it can only be done if you're plugged into Avraham. This is the chiddush. To do Gvura, Gvura means inreach. That's Yitzhak Avinu. Inreach is to build your inner world. We're going to explain that in 2 weeks' time when we talk about Yitzhak. Avram builds the outer world. Yitzhak builds the inner world, the world inside of us. Yaakov, who's Tiferes, Tiferes means harmony or synthesis, is the ability to take two very opposite things, because, again, Chesed is also called Ava, and Gvura is also called Din, or Pachad, or Yira, and Tiferes, which is Torah and Rachamim, and Emes, is the ability to take opposites and to synthesize them and to harmonize them. That was Yaakov's Tiferes. So these three people, to do that, they had to devote their whole lives to that particular midah. So Avraham Avinu's whole life is Chesed, Yitzchak's whole life is Gvura, Yaakov's whole life is Tiferes, is Emes, is Torah. That's what they did, and through that, the midos became them, and the midos came out into this world. The trick is that these midos have different components in the 24-hour clock. I warned you, it's a little bit complicated. If you're playing your phone, you're not going to get it. You have to give 100% attention. You've got your 24-hour clock. At different moments in the time, these midos come out naturally. How does this work? So I'm going to teach you something amazing. The last 5 minutes of the shir is going to be incredible. This is not my own Torah. That's why I can show off about it. It's really all based on the Holy Sfarim. The Holy Sfarim bring down. If you want to understand Chesed, Gevurah, and Tiferes, and if you want to understand Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, and if you want to understand any of the holy trilogies, I spoke in this room a few weeks ago about Tishri, Cheshvan, and Kislev. It's the same idea. Remember that? Tishri, Cheshvan, and Kislev. It also works with, for example, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. It also works with Anilayda, Kinatayv, and Kav. All the famous trilogies can be plugged in to this mashal over here. This mashal has many, many uses. It's a Kabbalistic mashal, and it's called the mother and child mashal. And this mashal talks about the relationship between a mother and a child, and makes the following statement. The statement is that a mother-child relationship has three moments of extreme connection. Each one is completely different from the other. So, Rabbi, I don't know what you're talking about. So I'll explain. I'll give you the mashal, and then everything's going to start going ding, 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 ding. All the pennies are going to start dropping. You'll see where this whole shir is building up to. And it's such a beautiful idea, and it's mamish going to help you with your davening. Watch this, okay? I'm going to tell you a story. It's based, again, this Kabbalistic mashal called a mother and a child. Once upon a time, there was a big mama. Okay, whatever. So we have over here Mr. Kaplan with Ezra. Okay, so you know, deep down, this is like down Mississippi, Louisiana. Okay, your mama says, it says the mama has a baby, and the baby is born at a unique moment in time. That moment in time, something incredible has happened. You have a mother, and you have a child. As the child comes out of the birth canal, the child is distinct from the mother and yet connected to the mother. They are two entities, and yet they are one entity. They are, technically speaking, connected with the, what's it called, the umbilical cord. This is something beautiful. This is called an extreme moment of connection called birth. Birth, mother and child are one, but here's the caveat. The child is facing away from the mother. What does it mean the child's facing away from the mother? This is all in the world of symbolism. It means, as if to say, Big Mama says, now honey, okay, y'all got to go on your own. You got to find yourself. I can't do it properly. Ezra can do it. And you got to find yourself. You got to become a big boy. Every one of you that has a mother, your mothers who are clever mothers, say to you, you got to, Israel, you got to find yourself a little bit. You got to let go of the apron strings, and you got to fall, pick yourself up, learn from your mistakes. That's how you grow. So a child starts up the life going this way, and Big Mama says, honey, you're on your own. So now I become the child. The child says, goodbye, Mama. Goodbye, son. Okay? And I go off into the big wide world. And I go and I, whatever it is, and I go to the best schools, and I become bigger, and I become stronger, and I become an adult, and whatever. I go to Harvard Law School, and I get married, and I then become what's called Mole Kaimasi, my full stature. I am now a superstar. I have achieved everything. I've done what my mother empowered me to do. But here comes the problem. I'm still facing away from my mother. And suddenly I feel tremendous yearning for her, and I miss her terribly. And look at me, everyone, and I do the following. I turn around 180 degrees. That turnaround is also a moment of deep connection between mother and child. What does it mean? The child who has become distanced from the mother realize that they have to reconnect. The will to reconnect is itself a moment of connection. Just to expand on this idea, if any of you have an old high school friend and you've gone your own ways, whatever, he's gone to whatever he went, he didn't go to yeshiva, whatever happened, and you do your thing and you're going like this. So you pick up the phone and you say to him, whatever, you know, Dave, I miss you. We've got to get together for shawarma, whatever it is, okay, for beer. You know what I mean? In the seminaries, I always have to say, like, yogurt. You know, but you guys, you say, you know, fro-yo. But you guys, you say, like, beer. You know what I mean? You say, like, get together for a shawarma. And he says, you know, I was thinking at the same time, we've got to get together. At that point then, you haven't met him yet, but you've both changed your directions. Instead of walking, going this way, you're now going back towards each other. That's called the second thing. Mati, we're almost there. Okay, now, watch me, okay? Get back, Jojo. Get back to Big Mom. Okay? So you go back. I'm going back to the Big Mama. She's waiting for me. Back, you know, I'm leaving Manhattan. I'm going back to my roots. I was going back to Louisiana, and there's Big Mama, and then I give her a hug. So there's a certain moment in time when mother and child are once again one, exactly like the moment of birth. But what's the difference? Two things. Number one, I'm now a full adult, and number two, I'm facing her. In other words, it's panim el panim. So that is a much intense moment of connection. The two have become one once again. So this mashal is beautiful. Because this mashal you can plug in to Pesach Shavuot Sukkos, you can plug into all kinds of things. We're going to talk now about the Avos and Shacharis Mincha and Maariv. Watch this, okay? Sunrise. Morning has broken. Okay, if you look out, the sun rises. There is something magical about sunrise. It's a new day. Everything is fresh. The world is fragrant. The world is filled with hope. It smells beautiful wherever you are. Even Brooklyn is beautiful at sunrise. This is the magic of the moment of birth. Doesn't matter where you are, it's good. It's fantastic. I'm telling you this because whatever, anyone that's seen a newborn child, newborn child, little kid, okay, you bring him to your house. You bring him to the house, this little rat-like creature. The whole house smells fragrant. Everyone is besimcha. Everyone, though, it's mamash, you know what I mean? It's like spiritual air freshener. A newborn child in your home. We have some kola guys there. It's a Hashem. You have a child, you bring him to the house, the whole house is filled with simcha. Without doing anything. Just the presence of birth. Why? Birth equals hope. Birth equals potential. You only have a certain amount of days in your life. Whatever it is, I don't know, the rent song, whatever it is. A certain amount of days, that's all you get. 1 day, 2 day, 3 day, 100 day, 1,000 day, 10,000 day, and that's it. And at a certain point, they put you under the ground. And each day is a gift. And each day, you gotta squeeze that day and get the most out of it. For the guys in my share, especially, all right? You want to squeeze every moment out of the 2 hours that you have and not get tired. I dedicate this last segment to the, whoever it is. He's not even, I'm not going to invite him, but public, okay. Okay, so every moment is special. And every moment you want to squeeze those special moments because you never get them back. Now, okay, now I'm not starting on anyone now. Now, the point is, what do you do? So there's a man called Abraham. Abraham, Avram, is the Av that belongs to birth. What does he mean he belongs to birth? That's his, that's what he is. Elo tol shemayim v'aretz behibaram, behibaram ba'avram. Avram is Bria. Avram is creation. Chesed, Olam Chesed, Yibana. He's the builder. He reaches out. That's Chesed. So what does he do? He takes the moment of birth and he turns it into tefillah. And he says to Kodesh Baruch Hu, I have a whole day in front of me. Help me build. Help me succeed. So for you guys, I don't want to waste time. For you guys, I want to be able to, you know, to make maximize my day, full potential, to be the biggest builder I can. That is Shacharis. Shacharis, you got the whole day in front of you. There's a certain magic of getting up early in the morning. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about, but it is. It's there, right? Get up early, and you taste that moment, and you turn it into prayer, and you ask the Kodesh Baruch Hu, make sure this day counts. Make sure this day is special. Make sure this day is a building day. Okay, what happens next? You start your day. Your day is not spiritual. Even if you're in a Beis HaMedrash, you're busy arguing about how people get divorced. It's not spiritual. You go out to the workforce, you're out there, you're dealing with business, you're dealing with your practice, whatever it may be. It's not spiritual. You have to deal with family issues, with neighbors, you have to deal with community. It's not spiritual. And as the day goes on, you are involved in the deep doo-doo of the physical world. And more, and more, and more, and more, and then suddenly, it's all getting sour. And you see the sun is going down, and the day is dying, and you see the sky is turning crimson red, the colors of death. It's all finished. It's all over with. And at that point then, you realize, you know, all the promises you made for yourself at the crack of dawn, they're history, they're gone. How do you salvage the moment? How do you get back and get back to the makar, your relationship with Kodesh Baruch Hu, and refocus your energies and regain what you lost and refocus what you've lost focus? And the answer is, there was once a special man and his whole life was dedicated to inreach and turning everything round, and no matter where you sunk, he brings it in the right direction. Who is that man? It's the blind Av, it's Yitzhak Avinu. He goes like this. That's called Gevura. That's the one, he changes everything. What did the Rambam say? When's the perfect time for Mincha? Lifnois Erev, as the day is dying and everything is getting lost, he turns that moment back into Kedusha. And by the way, in real life, that's what Mincha is. Mincha is a booster shot. Shacharis is a whole sulam, is a whole ladder. Shacharis is a whole thing. You reach up to the sky. Mincha, Sukkot Zimra, becomes Ashrei, and you don't need Shema and its brachos, and you get straight to the Jagala, and basically the whole concept of Mincha is to reconnect to what you built up in Shacharis. It's a booster shot. Some of you in a few years' time, you sit there, whatever it is, in downtown Manhattan, midtown Manhattan, and you chaperine, whatever, you get a Mincha by the, whatever, in the coffee room. You get, you know, the from Jews, they get to, I've seen this, it's the most beautiful thing. I hold these are the holiest minyanim. These are your dads, some of you. Yeah, they get together in a coin, a quick mincha. But it's so beautiful. You see, balabatim, that's it. For a few seconds, they're reconnecting to God. They're reconnecting to reality. They're refocusing their day. It's not about money. It's all about family and HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. So for a few minutes a day, they refocus. That's the gift of Yitzhak Avinu. And then eventually comes the night time. We're going to have to explain what night is, but night is not part of this world. And Yaakov was not part of this world. And at night, you have two choices. Choice number one is you can escape the night by sleeping or by partying, or you can do what Yaakov did, is to raise yourself to a different mitzvah. And that's what's called the hunt with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, which is Bechinas Laila. That's where you learn Torah at night. That's all the Kedusha of Laila. At night, you raise yourself almost to like an angelic level, and you become one with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, filled with Kedusha. That's the final level. But by side, let me summarize what I came to say. What I came to say to you is as follows. Look at Shachris Mincha Marv differently, and remember, before you take your three steps, you're plugging into a unique power. If you look around at the corners over here, you see electrical outlets. They are potential. You can plug in your computer, you can plug in whatever, your pneumatic drill, whatever you guys are into, and whatever. But if you can choose not to plug in. Shachris Mincha Marv was unleashed by Avram, was unleashed by Yitzhak. They put themselves into those prayers. All the Anshei Chesed Gadol was to put flesh on that electrical energy that they created. What you have to do is choose to plug in. Thank you. Good Shabbos.
Shabbos.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Oh, man.
Rabbi.
Rabbi, which halacha did you say?